Different coach, the Celtics are in the finals right now. Yo, 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 what's going on, everybody? Mike here, Sports and the Real Shit Podcast, coming at you once again. As always, don't forget to like and subscribe and share and tell a friend to tell a friend to tell a friend, all that good stuff. Check out the website, as always, sportsandthereal.tv. Sportsandthereal.tv. Let your peeps know what we got going on here. It's going to get better. More to come. But I appreciate you guys spending time with me as always. Even the few minutes, you know, that you listen and watch means a lot to me. So I appreciate that. But enough of that. Still playoff basketball. Unfortunately, playoff basketball is almost over. We really want the playoffs to go on forever, but we know that's not the case. The finals are here. Finals matchup is set. OKC, Pacers, probably not what TV wanted, right? That's not what the script wrote. The script wrote for the Lakers and the Celtics. That's what the script wrote, Adam Silver. I ain't forget about you, player. By the way, before I get into it, sidebar, Adam Silver, you think we're stupid? So you think we're dumb? You gonna give the Lakers Luka for a broken down AD, and then you're going to give the Mavericks the first pick when they really shouldn't have had the first pick, shouldn't have been anywhere close to the first pick? You think we're dumb? Man, I was, sidebar, I was watching on Netflix one of the Untold series, if you guys watch Netflix, the Untold series of, you know, different things happening in sports, the Untold series on FIFA and the shenanigans, right, going on with FIFA and the corruption. The NBA is corrupt, man. I'm sorry. The dudes play ball, they play ball, they hoop. We watch it because they're hooping. As basketball fans, we love hoop. It is what it is. But the NBA, like FIFA, I guess like all these leagues where there's big, big money at stake, is corrupt. So you cannot tell me that the Lakers getting Luka and then the Mavs getting the number one pick is just a coinkadink. Just a coinkadink. Are we stupid? You think we're dumb, Adam Silver? No. The NBA is corrupt. Somebody's getting paid. It is what it is. Mark Cuban had just sold a team for billions of dollars, whatever it is, right? I don't know what they got going on. I don't have any proof. There's never going to be any proof, right? Even if there was proof, they would deny it. Y'all gotta watch the FIFA joint, right? If you like soccer at all, you gotta watch Untold FIFA story, like the corruption. But even when the facts come out, people, you know, somehow get away with it because people get paid on their table, blah blah blah, right? Cash rules everything around me, and even in the NBA, cash rules everything around me. So I don't want to dwell on that too much, but it is what it is, right? I just wanted to call that out. Ain't no way. The Mavs give Luka up for a broken down AD, right? Who's going to retire in a couple years. Body can't take it no more. I mean, a man literally gets hurt first game with the Mavs. He can't stay healthy. And then they turn around and the Mavs get the first overall pick. Cooper Flag. Come on, man! Are we dumb? You think I'm stupid? Whatever, man. That ain't that funny. Anyway, playoff basketball. Let's get to it. Let's get to it. I wanted to talk about this. I didn't get to record because I don't like making excuses, but some things are more important than others. All right, guys? Sorry. All right? Instead of recording, you know, about talking about Celtics losses and this and that, I had kids graduated. All right? I had to deal with all that, all family in town, all the shenanigans that go on with that. So didn't have time to record. But I did want to talk about the Celtics because the Celtics are the most disappointing. The Celtics make me look awful. They made me look awful because I picked them to run the table, to have an easy time in the playoffs. I thought they had matured from last year. They had learned how to win. I set them up as the champs. Like, I was like everybody else playing for second. Nobody else had a chance. And then, boom, they fall flat on their face. Not only did they fall flat on their face, they historically fall flat on their face by having two 20-point comebacks in the first two games at home in the fourth quarter. to the Knicks. How did they lose to the Knicks? How did they lose first two games up 20 points to the Knicks? A Knicks team that basically went down to the wire with the Pistons. The Pistons gave the Knicks, like, a better run than the Celtics. What the hell? The Celtics, a team loaded with all-star, that Celtics team just won a championship. That Celtics team. Yeah, I know JB might have been struggling a little bit with an injury. And then Jason gets hurt. Shout out to Jason. Hope he makes a full recovery. But he's going to miss the whole season. I'll get to that in a bit. But Jason gets hurt. JB's hobbling a little bit. But still, that team is loaded. How do you lose so bad against the Knicks? And that is my problem with modern NBA. The modern NBA is so many teams get these big old leads, but it's almost an expectation that the other team's going to come back, and that shouldn't be the case. I don't care what you say about the modern game. Dudes are shooters, offenses, whatever. That's BS. Ain't no way a team is up 20 points halfway through the fourth quarter and the other team can come back unless two things happen. You continue to take bad shots and rush shots, which the Celtics do, and you stop playing defense. Because if you play defense, the other team ain't getting easy shots, so they're not going to score a high percentage. They're not going to go bombs away from three if you're up in their shirt. So you stop playing defense because you get laxed, and you think your three-point shooting is going to keep going, is going to carry you. So you stop making threes, you start taking bad shots, you keep taking bad shots anyway, and next thing you know, momentum is with the other team and they come back. So the Knicks did that first two games, back-to-back in Boston. So that's a coaching issue. I don't care, bro. Don't come at me with modern offenses, the modern game. It's not a glitch. I think it was Jeff Van Gundy or Stan Van Gundy that says, like, that's like a feature in the modern game. It's not a glitch. It's a feature. It's part of the game that these big leads, people give up these big leads. And I don't agree with it. Well, it's a feature, but it's a feature because teams play dumb basketball. It only happens because people start playing dumb basketball. Like, it's like in football, if you have a team that's running gun all day, running, shooting, a two-minute offense, cool. But at some point, you get the lead, you slow down. Because too many three and outs, the other team's going to score quickly, and they're right back in the game. That's simple sports. Why don't modern NBA teams have the ability to slow down and not take bad shots? So why do the Celtics not have an offense outside of hunting for threes and layups? Soon as when the game gets tight, the Celtics are unable to create a good look outside of a three or a layup. And when the three ain't falling, forget about it. So if you're Joe Mazzulla, how are you not able to create a good look for your team outside of a three where they're hunting mismatches? And you got JT and JB taking tough step back threes all day. So you gave that series up to the Knicks. And I don't like calling for people's jobs. I don't like calling for coaches' jobs. Like, you know what I'm saying? Like, that stuff is sacred to me. But all I'm going to say is this. Joe Mazzulla is heralded as a great coach. But a different coach, the Celtics, are in the finals right now. Mark Daigneault has the Celtics in the finals right now. So I'm not telling you to fire Joe Mazzulla. Do whatever you got to do, Celtics. But I'm telling you right now, Mark Daigneault has the Celtics in the finals because they by far have the deepest team. Now, of course, JT gets hurt. And, you know, we don't know if that would have happened had they moved on. We don't know, right? We can only speculate. But that team with a different coach is not down 3-0 to the Knicks. They're not. They're just not. And the Knicks are just kicking their butts. How? How was that team with all these all-stars and great players and two-way players? I picked them to win the championship easily. How does that happen? That's a coaching problem, man. A coach allows players to do dumb stuff. You either coach it or you allow it. And when the Knicks are making these comebacks and Jason Tatum is still jacking up step-back threes, that's a coaching problem. You've allowed it. And guys aren't getting back on defense. That's a coaching problem. So Joe Mazzulla, to me, is on the hot seat. He has to step his game up. People, you know, national TV, you know, calling him, hey, you know, he's a smart guy. Is he? Or is he just coaching a really, really talented team? They got a stacked squad. But that stacked squad went out sad against the Knicks. They had Mikal Bridges looking like prime KD. Where is the defense? Why aren't you doubling Jalen Brunson when he's clearly going off against Drew Holiday? Like, play a different defense, bro. And I love Drew, but Jalen was cooking him. Make him give up the ball. Do something else. Run a different type of offense. Do something else. Do anything. Don't just sit here and watch your team get come back on two times, two games at home, back to back, first two games of the season of the series. That shouldn't happen. So the Celtics go up against the Pacers, and the Pacers clean them out. And the Pacers are not a better team than the Celtics. So how do the Knicks look not so great against the Pacers, but they look so good against the Celtics? How are the Pacers able to expose Jalen Brunson and Karl-Anthony Towns' inability to move their feet, but the Celtics couldn't? Coaching. Rick Carlisle has the Celtics in the finals. Coaching. Coaching matters. So you can call Mazzulla a whiz kid, all of that. Coaching matters. A different coach has the Celtics in the finals, Celtics fans. And when I said last year, I thought a healthy Jimmy Butler and the Heat would have beaten them, y'all didn't agree with me. I thought that the Celtics got to skate through. Everybody was hurt. Y'all didn't agree with me. So I'm done picking the Celtics. I don't care if the Celtics win 20 championships in a row. Season 21, I'm not picking them. Because they can't, this team as currently constructed can't be trusted. Y'all gotta know my history if y'all ain't been keeping up. Y'all know I picked them against the Warriors. And I picked them the next year. When I don't pick them, that's when they win. So I'm just not going to pick them. Maybe that's, I'm bad luck. But I'm done picking the Celtics to win. And I don't know if that team gets back to the championship because JT's going to miss all of next year with that Achilles. By the way, JT gets hurt. Dame gets hurt, Achilles. What's up with that? Ain't that crazy? It's wild. But JT ain't coming back till 27. Jaylen Brown, is he still going to be around? I still think they could win games. They won a lot of games in the regular season, but they're not going to be a playoff contender next year. And then JT has to come back, and then is Jaylen. So this core might be totally different. Al Horford's old. It's going to be a whole different squad. They got to find a way to stack up quickly so they could still take advantage of this prime. Yeah, man. I'm not a Celtics hater. I just know what I'm watching, and ain't no way the Pacers should mop the floor with the Knicks, but the Knicks mop the floor with the Celtics. That shouldn't happen. The Pacers ain't that good, and I'll get into that in a minute. The Pacers really aren't. They're good. They're really, really good, but they ain't that good to make the Knicks look bad who made the Celtics look bad. So something's wrong with the Celtics, and I think it's coaching. I hate blaming coaches. I don't call for coaches' jobs. They got families too, but Mazzulla got some answering to do. So that's what it is. It made Mikal Bridges look like prime KD, man. That's just crazy. Killing them with the pull-up, 1-2 dribble pull-up. Bro looking like Kobe Bryant in the mid-range. Should never happen. All right. So that's it. That's all I wanted to cover with the Celtics, man. It just so it hurt my feelings, man. I literally picked these dudes to run through the East, run through the playoffs. I'm hurt. I'm hurt. Forgive me. All right. Moving on. The Knicks. So the Knicks, I didn't think the Knicks were going to win against the Celtics. I knew they were going to struggle against Detroit. I didn't think they were going to beat the Celtics, but they did. I thought they would beat the Pacers, though. But I was wrong. And I was wrong because the Knicks have a fundamental problem that I don't know they can fix. Tom Thibodeau is known as a defensive coach. Defensive genius. Came to fame with the Celtics 08 team. And then took over the Bulls job. And, you know, had Derrick Rose and the boys D-ing everybody up. But really couldn't score outside of D. Rose. But he's a defensive genius. Even in a modern NBA, he knows how to coach up some defense. But the problem is two of his five starters can't play any D. So Cat can't move his feet with a nothing. He picks up some of the dumbest fouls ever. Like if Carl Anthony, it's too late, all right? I'm going to say something stupid, but I'm going to say it anyway. If Carl Anthony Towns is going to take the next step, which I feel like he's already peaked. But if he's going to help the Knicks take the next step, he has to learn to play defense. Not only play defense, not get in foul trouble over stupid stuff. Like, he picks up some of the dumbest fouls, moving screens. Like, bro, smart basketball wins, always. So their problem is Cat can't defend and Jalen Brunson can't defend. When you watch it on TV, it's evident. It's so obvious, right? Like, you don't need the stat nerds to tell you. You don't need AI to tell you, hey, man, Cat and Jalen Brunson can't defend. But I went online just to make sure the stats line up what I was seeing, and it's true. With Carl Anthony Towns and Jalen Brunson on the floor together, the Knicks' defensive rating is 130.2. This means that the Knicks allow 130 points per 100 possessions when Carl Anthony Towns and Jalen Brunson were on the court together. That is the worst defensive rating in the league this year. The entire league, not just playoff teams, in the league. Like the Jazz, like these terrible teams were better. The Knicks had no chance against the Pacers. And they had no chance against any good team outside of the Celtics, obviously, because those guys can't move their feet worth a nothing. And the Pacers were like, we're just going to run the ball and run the ball and push the ball. And Jalen couldn't keep up and Cat couldn't keep up. So the Knicks have a decision to make. If they're going to win a championship, they're going to have to, at some point, defend. But their two best offensive players can't defend worth a nothing. So unfortunately, New York fans, I don't know if this core is championship material, not because they can't score, not because Jalen Brunson is not one of the top guys in the league at scoring the basketball, Mr. Clutch himself, and he proved it in the playoffs, but they can't stop nobody. So whenever they run up against a legit team, like the Pacers, who are going to push the pace and run hella pick and rolls and you know, they go by you, they kick out, spray, and shot. That's what you get, and it looks bad. It looks awful for the Knicks to get smacked around by the Pacers because I don't think the Pacers are that great of a team. Pacers have gaps in their game, too. They have limitations. 130.2. Per 100 possessions with those two players on the floor. That's awful. Jalen Brunson by himself had an individual defensive rating of 127. The Pacers shot 59.4 against him. That is a problem. You're not going to win in the playoffs with one terrible defender, let alone two. It's hard in today's game when you're starting to play the better teams. So that's the problem with the Knicks. All right? They can't really run fast breaks because Jalen and Cap really aren't that type of players. They have no bench. But most importantly, those two guys who can't defend, counters, everything that Thibodeau stands for. So what are they going to do? I don't know. But shout out to Jalen Brunson, though. I mean, one of my guys hit me up. He was like, yo, Jalen Brunson, like on a Mount Rushmore of Knicks players. I'm like, you're probably right. I mean, Knicks Mount Rushmore is looking like what? Clyde Frazier. Well, Patrick Ewing, I think, is at the top. Ring or no ring, Patrick Ewing is like Mr. Knick to me. But Patrick, Frazier, Bernard King, maybe? I don't think Bernard had the success that Jalen's had in the playoffs. And Jalen Brunson? In just 3 years, Jalen Brunson is like Mount Rushmore of the Knicks. This dude's super clutch. Unfortunately, his defense is going to get in the way of him actually winning big in New York. But Jalen Brunson is like that. I don't have nothing else. Like I can't praise this dude enough. His offensive ability, his clutch gene. He doesn't care who's guarding him. I mean, he was making Jrue Holiday look real sus. And nobody makes Jrue Holiday, except for Jimmy Butler. But nobody makes Jrue Holiday look like that. Jalen Brunson was making him look awful. Straight in his face. Step back, sock, like everything. Didn't need no pick. Just giving him, handing out straight buckets in his grip. So that's the next problem. 2 of 5 starters, right? Their two best offensive players can't defend. Not good. So they're not gonna win like that. Timberwolves problem. They're the reverse of that. The Timberwolves are the reverse of the Knicks. The Timberwolves aren't going to win a championship for a couple reasons right now. First one is Rudy Gobert continues, right, which has been the case throughout his entire career. His offense doesn't help you in the playoffs. So despite how great his defense can be in the regular season and even in the playoffs sometimes, his offense is so limited that it's a negative to have him on the court. You'd rather take your chances playing worse defense because on offense, he clogs up the paint terribly. Like his inability to just catch the ball sucks. So it's not just that he has no offensive game, no post game. He struggles catching the ball. And if you play with anyone who struggles catching the ball, that's the worst thing, right? If you can catch the ball and hold on to it and make a pass out, kick it back out, I'll take that. But if you can't catch the ball, then we're playing 4 on 5 because I can't even pass you the ball. You're going to drop it. You're going to fumble it. And Rudy struggles catching the ball. NBA player making millions, hundreds of millions of dollars, can't catch a ball. Damn shame. Nigga tall for no reason. As we used to say, tall for no reason. No, but Rudy struggles on offense, and because of that, it impacts the Timberwolves big time. But not only that, we've talked about this the last several seasons, right? We see it when he was with Utah. When it gets to the playoffs, even his defense struggles. Like, teams take advantage of him. So he has no offense as his defense takes a hit in the playoffs. Minnesota's not going to win with Rudy. And I like Minnesota. I picked Minnesota from the beginning of the year. One of the reasons I picked Minnesota, and I was wrong for that, I thought Ant was going to take the Michael Jordan, Kobe Bryant leap. And he hasn't. He didn't. Ant preferred to be Steph Curry. Ant, get your butt in the mid-range and in the paint. Please, for the love of God. I've said it before, I'll say it again. If Anthony Edwards is going to truly reach his potential, he has to do two things. One, he has to learn how to read defenses better and quicker. And I talked about this before. I talked about this last year where he should be watching Luka tape. And they actually mentioned it on one of the Timberwolves broadcasts. Like, your Ant, you know, has been watching Luka, which is good. But more importantly, he needs to learn how to play in the mid-range. He can't do this. It's either going to be a three-pointer, a step-back three, or, you know, I'm diving to the paint. which is cool with the second part. I like the aggressiveness. But if Anthony Edwards is truly going to reach greatness and maximize his potential, he has to learn how to play in the mid-range and learn how to read defenses, when to make the right passes. The next pass, the skip pass, whatever it is. But the mid-range is key. Because what OKC did, they doubled a lot, right? But really, it's, can you get by one man and before the second man comes over, make a decision to either pull up or make a pass, the right pass? And he's not there yet. He's not able to master the mid-range area. And Richard Jefferson kept calling this out in a broadcast. Richard Jefferson was like, he needs to get in the post, because in the post, mid-post area, they can't double team like that. And when they do, it's easier to see and to pass out of. Yeah. And that's what I've been saying. Work that mid-range. And last year, I really thought he was starting to work in the mid-range. I really thought, like, I saw it, man. His footwork last year in the paint, in the post-up, was much better than it was before. And then he stopped. He turned into a three-point. He turned into Steph Curry. Anthony Edwards don't need to be Steph Curry, bro. You are too athletic, too strong, too physical, too much of a freak. Three-point shot is cool, but when the money's on the line, Shai Gilgeous Alexander, money time, mid-range wins. Don't let the nerds fool you, bro. Three-point shooting is cool, but your gift needs to be controlling the mid-range, whether it's through passes or through pull-ups, post-ups. That's where Anthony Edwards is going to make the most difference. So, yeah, for now, though, the Timberwolves' cap is limited because of Rudy. Ant's going to take another step. He is. He's going to be better. I have no doubt about it. He's too athletic. He's too good. He works on his game. He's going to get better. But their cap, yeah, Julius Randle over-dribbled a lot. He was trying to dribble against Lou Dort, and Lou Dort kept picking his pocket. Hopefully he learns from that. But Rudy, man, that's the problem. Rudy's the problem. And they need a point guard. Minnesota needs a starting point guard badly. Obviously, Mike Conley is old. He can't be a starter anymore. Nikhil Alexander Walker is not really a starting point guard. I like to set people. If Ant's not going to be – Ant has the ball so much. But if he's not going to be able to really set the table for his team, then they're going to have to get a point guard who can help him do that. And right now they don't have one. So we'll see how it plays out. That's – yeah, man, that's tough. My guy Ant, he fell for the trap of three-point shooting. He fell for it. Hopefully somebody talks to him and says, hey, man, if you own the mid-range, you'll win some rings. I know you think you're better than Jordan because you can shoot threes. Shooting threes for you, shooting threes ain't going to be what wins championships. So here's the overall lesson, all right? We're learning this year in this modern style of basketball. You got to have as many two-way players as possible, and you can't defend. You can't depend on somebody who's so bad in half of the court, meaning the Knicks are so dependent on Jalen Brunson and Karl Anthony Towns, even if it was just one of them. They're so dependent on these dudes for offense that when they come off the court, so the Knicks can play defense, they can't score. So if you're going to win in modern-day basketball, similar to how the Warriors were, right, prime Warriors, they had all these interchangeable pieces who could play offense and defense. The Knicks have a problem where they have guys who can score but can't defend, and the Timberwolves are relying on Rudy. Like, their defense, you know, totally changes when Rudy's not in the game, but their offense sucks because he can't catch the damn ball. Uh, Lesson is two-way players, man. OKC has a hell of a lot of two-way players. Boston has a lot of them, but coaching wasn't what it was supposed to be. You cannot be overly dependent on one person for one side of the ball, because if that guy gets in foul trouble or he can't hang, your game plan is done. Minnesota's game plan on defense struggled. They couldn't stop OKC, right? Besides OKC being a great team, but they can't stop a team like that because they have to take Rudy off the court because he hurts them on offense. The Knicks, they get burned on defense because their two best offensive players can't play a lick of defense. Too slow-footed, picking up bad fouls. So we'll see, man. I don't want to make any early predictions, but I think that's the way the league, that's clearly where the league is going, but that kind of feeds into my finals prediction. I kind of hinted at this, y'all. I'm taking OKC in five. OKC does what Indy does, right? Which is run, 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 but they do it better and they play defense and they play in the half court. OKC is just a better team. They're more well-rounded. They do everything great. Their defense is legit. OKC's defense is one of the best defenses from a complete team defenses I've seen in a long time. Like, everybody on that team is so damn handsy. Like, they're reaching all the time. They're slapping at the ball. Like, thank God the refs aren't calling fouls like they used to call, you know, they were calling a couple years back. They're letting these boys play because, okay, and I love it. OKC plays defense like I haven't seen in a long time. Like, this is playoff basketball. Like, they are in your shirt and they are reaching. And if you ain't strong with the ball, they're taking it, they're slapping it out. It ain't just Dort. It's J-Dub. Shea's even defending. Like, Isaiah Joe comes in the game and Wallace and everybody, man. Ernie Johnson's son. Nah, they just got a squad, man. They got a really, really deep team. Bunch of two-way players, a bunch of dog guys who ain't scared to get there. I coach my kids' AAU team, man, and that's one of the things that I preach. Don't be scared to get hit. These boys ain't scared of contact. They're not scared to get their face dirty, man. Anybody can score in the NBA, but not everybody can play defense. Not everybody can play defense like that. Like, if you take out Shea and you replace him with, say, Prime James Harden, it's not the same team because Prime James Harden was so one-dimensional that he would actually hurt this team. Even though he was a machine offensively, he would hurt OKC because he doesn't defend. Like, you need a guy like Shea who's not only going to get you buckets, but he's gonna get in there and defend. He's gonna block shots. And he's gonna slap at the ball. He's gonna strip you. You're playing around, he's gonna take your cookies. They are a well-oiled machine. They are well coached. They give maximum effort all the time. Caruso comes in off the bench. Like, all of these guys, they've all bought in. The culture is amazing. I thought they were gonna struggle with the Nuggets. Because I thought Nuggets size would have had been problematic. Nope, they make up for it with effort. That's all it is. They make up for it with effort. So OKC is gonna handle Indy pretty easily. They play that run and gun game better than Indy does. Like, quick stat for the season, OKC 17.8. Fast break points per game, first in the league, Indy third in the league with 15.5. Like, everybody thinks of Indianapolis run and gun, they play fast. That's cool. Do that against OKC and they're gonna run right and they're gonna run you right out of the building. Because they score and get back. They do both. They don't have a weakness right now that the Pacers can exploit. So I see this series going. I would be shocked if this series goes six. Shocked. I think OKC is just that much better. But what they're gonna put Neesmith on Shea. Okay. Good defender. They're gonna hide Holly on Dort probably. Nembhard's too small, so he's gonna guard J Dub maybe, but I feel like Ben and Obi are gonna have to play a lot this series to guard J Dub. Siakam on Chet, Miles on Hartenstein? I don't know. The matchups just aren't there for the Pacers. Carlisle's a hell of a coach. I'm sure he'll have something up his sleeve. But this is a different monster. This is a different monster. This is what the Celtics should have been right here, what OKC's about to show the Pacers. And Shea's going to win Finals MVP. He is. Shout out to regular season MVP and Finals MVP, SGA, Shea Gilgeous-Alexander. He deserves it. He is amazing. Amazing role model in how he plays and how he carries himself off the court. Like, he is what young hoopers should strive to be like. Shout out to Shea, man. But yeah, okay, OKC's going to win this easily. But Pacers had a great year. They surprised me. I didn't think they were going to be that good. And they proved me wrong. And maybe it's because the other teams just aren't as good as I thought they were. But whatever it is, hell of a squad, hell of a run. But I think it stops here. OKC takes it in five. Your champions for the 2024-2025 NBA season is the Oklahoma City Thunder. They do what Russ and KD couldn't do and bring it home. So that's it. Let me know what y'all think, y'all. Let me know what y'all think. Y'all don't like my picks? Y'all don't like my Celtics rant? What y'all think about Adam Silver? Is he shady? Yeah, he's shady. He's shady. But I'll come back after the series is over, give you my thoughts, and then we'll get into the offseason and get ready for football season. It's been great, man. Had a lot of fun, as always, talking some hoops. Appreciate y'all watching. Let me know what I can do better. I take recommendations, too. But I'm going to catch you guys next time. Mike, Sports in the Real shit. Y'all be good. Peace. Straight to the top, just put the sack on the clock. I am Ray Allen's a shot. I'm going straight to the top.